I mean, going through Romans 1 and picking out, like we've been doing, these traits. The traits are, not things we do to be bad. They're things we do because we're bad. And when people are bad and they don't fix that, they don't even care to fix it, it makes other things bad. There may be a nation one day in the far distant future where evil is not checked, it's not resisted, it's not repented of. And in that country, when that happens, there'll be the wildest swings in morality and immorality that you could imagine. I mean, we have no way of visualizing it in our day, of course, but one day people are going to say crazy things, and they're going to say that they're right and that they're enlightened and they're progressive and they're knowledgeable and they're, they have understanding. Look at verse 31. The trait I want to talk about today is the first one in verse 31, that they are without understanding. Let's pray. Lord, as I've mentioned before, we know that, Lord, when we see traits like these that are the sinful nature of men, that you are the opposite. Where men do not have understanding, Lord, you are full of understanding. Where men are unholy, you are holy. So, Lord, we thank you when you show us what is true and right, and that does not change. Lord, help us to be in this world full of understanding, that we might be a great contrast to a world that is without it. And Lord, that we would be useful in giving understanding where there is so little in so many places, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are times that if you ever go through, and Alice might have had this experience when she moved, you go through boxes, you find old things, and some of it you remember. And sometimes, I remember at my grandmother's house once, we were going through an old box and pulled something out. It was clearly meant to do something. We had no clue what it was. And you may have had the same experience. But no clue. What is this thing? It was fashioned. It was molded. It has a purpose. You can kind of see some holes in it, and it's got a shape to it. What does it do? If you had an old phonograph, a record player, you had 33 RPM, 45s, remember that? Well, there was a gadget that would fit over the spindle of a record player where you could put a 45 record on that because they got bigger holes. There's a device for that. I bet plenty of times people pull that out, and these days if they had an old one, and said, what in the world is that? And they don't have any understanding about what it does. They see it, but they don't understand it. And so some people say, well, I don't know what it is. Somebody will have to tell me. It must not be important. Throw it back in the box and forget it. Well, understanding is related to what we speak of as intelligence. And intelligence is measured by an IQ. If you're like between 95 and 115 in your IQ, you're pretty much normal, they say. 130, you're starting to get up there a little bit. But that is your intelligence quotient. It's what you can grasp. It's the breadth of your mind, your capacity for intelligence. I think of those games. I never don't think I've ever really played this thing, but those games where you got teddy bears in a glass thing and you got a crane little thing that you can get down and try to pick up stuff. Well, a person that's good at that can grasp the prize. and pull it up. But other people just knock the thing around and wouldn't be able to get it. Well, a person with a good IQ has knowledge for this world, that they're able to get things. They're able to reason and carry knowledge and remember things. A person with a low IQ is not as capable as others as far as high brain functions. For example, Forrest Gump has a low IQ and made millions and millions of dollars with it. But there's a more significant measure of intelligence, and that is not IQ, but SQ. Now, you may have never heard of SQ because I made it up this past week. SQ refers to spiritual quotient rather than intelligence quotient. That is where your IQ measures your intelligence in the world. SQ measures how well you grasp God. So a lot of people with a high IQ have a very, very low SQ. They do not grasp God. They do not accept the word of God. They do not even see the work of God when they put their big IQs into studying the world. So without understanding is not a charge against knowledge of things in the world, engines and medicine and trees and math and biology and science. An IQ, a high IQ, you're supposed to be better with those things with that. But without understanding, as mentioned by Paul in this verse, Romans 1:31, is a low SQ. It means you don't grasp God. And a low SQ, by the way, if you have a high IQ and a low SQ, your IQ gets messed up. You pervert world knowledge like evolution. A lot of high IQ people believe in evolution. But you see, because they have a low SQ, their IQ is deceiving them. The things of gender today, history, sociology, psychology, a lot of other things get tainted with a low SQ. If you have a high SQ, you're smarter than someone who has a high IQ but has a low SQ. If your surgeon, with all his knowledge, and surgeons have a lot of knowledge, you probably have a very healthy IQ in a lot of cases. Well, if they do their surgery outside in the cold, and a person with a lower IQ is inside in the warmth, they're actually smarter than the surgeon who's staying outside. Why don't you come in the house? Well, a lower IQ with a high SQ is actually more intelligent than someone who just has a high IQ. Ignorance is bliss is a saying we're familiar with. And if that saying is true, there are a whole lot of blissful people in our day. The meaning of it is that it's best to not know something in some areas rather than to know it and be discouraged and hurt by it. If you don't need to know it, then don't tell me about it. So ignorance is bliss. If you don't know, you can't be hurt by it. But for anything important, ignorance is not bliss. I want anybody who's flying a plane that I'm on, which I'm not likely to be on a plane, but I want that pilot to be knowledgeable. I don't want him to be ignorant. I don't want somebody cooking at a restaurant when we go out. I don't want them to be ignorant and not able to make a meal. I want them to know what they're doing. So ignorance is not bliss when we deal with God. Ignorance toward God is the most devastating human malady. A whole lot of people have that malady. The world is sick with this. And yet the world treats God like an option, like dessert. You can eat a meal at a restaurant and it's up to you. Do you want dessert? Well, it's an option. You don't have to. Well, God is looked at that way. Some people think God adds to their lives. Some people look at God as a way to calm their guilt in some way, to look religious, helps their business, whatever it is. But ignorance of God is a devastating human malady. First, we're alienated from God and left our own devices. Without God, we start trying to figure out how things work without understanding. And then sin, which we do with that lack of understanding, corrupts our body and our mind. Our mind becomes depraved, as Paul says in Romans 1 above this verse, that it becomes so depraved that we begin to think vain things and then do vain things. And the heart is deceitful. The heart's like a GPS that's sending you the wrong place, and you're following it thinking you're going in the right place. Proverbs calls people who are without understanding, who do not have the knowledge of God, foolish, naive, simple-minded, scoffers, haters of knowledge. If you're ignorant of God, your mind is not in neutral. Your mind is in full reverse, and you're careening backwards. And the longer you keep that ignorance of God, the farther from God you get and the worse you get. God could, of course, save anybody who's wicked in any way, but you're not getting any better unless you have a knowledge of God. You'll go back so far that you'll think you're smart. You'll think you're forward. You'll think you're progressive, insightful. And what's wrong with all these other people who believe these fairy tales in the Bible? That's where you get. Well, first of all, let's talk about the concept of understanding. Understanding is part of a group of words in Proverbs that include knowledge, wisdom, discretion, instruction, prudence, and understanding. Understanding is the ability to properly connect the dots, to live in truth. I did do, as I was a kid, a lot of those connect the dots puzzles. You look at a piece of paper, it's just got a bunch of dots on it with numbers. You don't know what it is. That's, by the way, the best way I've ever been able to draw is connecting the dots. So after you connect the dots, you can see, oh, that's a dog or a cat or whatever it is. If you understand, you're able to connect the dots. You're able to see the whole picture. A puzzle is an example. You can't tell what a puzzle is. I mean, you've got the box lid, but if you just look at the pieces, they don't make sense. And when you have understanding, it's when you begin to put that puzzle together and you can see the whole picture. It's comprehension of truth. It's how well you really get it. It's when you grasp the truth, not just see it or hear about it, but you grasp it. You know, the Wizard of Oz was said to be this great man who would give you courage and all sorts of things, a brain. You could really make out well with the Wizard of Oz, but that was without understanding. When they got understanding of the Wizard of Oz, he was just a man. And he was limited just like any man was. So we want to, in understanding, comprehend reality. Most people in the world, outside of God, everybody, lives in a state of unreality. They do not understand why they're here. They do not understand what they're supposed to do. They do not understand, the future, heaven, hell, a whole lots of things that should be understood. When we get directions, someone says, how do I get to your house? And they tell you and you write it down and you don't understand how to get there. You've got the point by point directions. You got to go here, 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 bit by bit. But once you know how to get there and you do it enough times to remember, well, then you understand. You've got it in your head now. You don't have to have directions anymore. A mechanic needs to understand how an engine works, not just what parts are, or, you know, what a part in the engine, where it goes. What does it do? So understanding is connecting the dots, living in truth. So misunderstanding or being without understanding, it is the inability to grasp truth. It's not that you don't learn. You know, the Bible speaks of some people who are always learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's like a hole in a bucket. You can keep pouring water in it all day long. As soon as you stop, it drains out. It does not contain the water. So it's unable to grasp water. People who are without understanding are unable to grasp truth. They don't get it. We call them clueless. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Their elevator doesn't go to the top floor. Doesn't matter how high their IQ is. If their practical life is foolish, according to the Word of God, then they are without understanding. And they're unable to grasp when they're wrong. There's something called troubleshooting. A computer person does a lot of troubleshooting. You find something that's wrong. Well, tell me what's going on. You troubleshoot. You get somebody out to your house to fix something. They got to troubleshoot. Find out what's wrong. When you don't understand, you can't troubleshoot. You're clueless. And a lack of understanding is not just a world thing. It's a religious thing as well. Probably most of the misunderstanding of the world, people who are without understanding, have some sort of religion. There are zillions, and I counted this week, there are zillions of religious people who do not grasp even the truth of their religion. When Jesus came the first time, he was right in front of them. People who knew the Bible, the star in Bethlehem, all the things the Bible pointed to, it was just like smacking them in the face with the truth, and they didn't get it. Christians today, so-called, lack discernment. They can't see a deceiver 6 inches away from them. They send money to charlatans on TV, make Benny Hinn rich. They've been exposed to biblical teaching for years in many cases. And they can't reason biblically. When they see something in the world, they can't apply it to their lives. They're without understanding. And so when someone needs a biblical answer, help me, give me an answer. They don't have it. Even if they've been under the teaching of the Word of God for years, they don't have it because they don't understand. And a lot of times people tell a person they're going the right way when they're not. If you do ask directions and someone says, yeah, I know where that is, and they tell you, they really should know what they're talking about. But an increasing number of people who tell us how to live our lives don't know what they're talking about. How we're supposed to be, don't know what they're talking about. That's a lack of understanding. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is a book on understanding, knowledge, wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 1. Let me read the first few verses. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's the purpose: to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. You start a course in a college classroom and the professor will put out what you should know by the end of that class. I went to Greek class. When I went to Greek class at Columbia Bible College, that was pretty interesting to me because Greek was, I did not know Greek. And yet here's the professor saying, well, by the end of the class, we're going to have this. You'll be able to translate Greek. You're going to have to write Greek. You're going to know the alphabet Greek, all these declensions and all this stuff. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty neat. Well, when Solomon writes here of Proverbs, he's laying out what he expects us to know by paying heed to what he teaches. It says in verse 2, his purpose is that we know wisdom and instruction or discipline to get the proper instruction and to know it, to grasp it, to discern the sayings of understanding, to be able to understand insight. When people talk about and make conclusions about behavior or whatever, that we grasp that because we are in tune with that. How to behave wisely and righteously and justly and with equity. People don't know this by themselves. They don't know how to behave. Where are you going to go for that? Is the government going to be the place you go to tell you how to behave, or the school system, or your friends, or some TV show? What is it? What's going to do that? There are different opinions about how we're supposed to live. People watch a movie. Some people like the movie. Some people hate the movie. That's what you get when you don't have a standard. Well, when Solomon writes, he said, I'm going to show you how to behave in a wise fashion. He wants to give prudence to the naive. The naive are the simple. The naive will believe anything. They'll buy a bridge from you. Remember the demoniac, the guy who was cured of the demon, who was living in the tombs. He would attack people. He would howl in the night. He lived in the tombs. That was where he wanted to stay. When he was saved, they found him clothed and in his right mind, and it scared him to death. That's prudence to the mad. He got wisdom. He had his sense after that. Knowledge and discretion to the youth, verse 4 says. When we were young, all of us, in our teens, we knew pretty much everything. We had reasoning power. We were pretty smart. Then we got older and realized that when we were younger, we weren't too smart. And a mind of a young person is a very precious treasure and a building block for society. And what's happening to the minds of the young today? They're getting instructed in paganism. Now, parents have to be constantly on their guard for what kids get in school, on television, on the internet. Youth minds are being taken. A lot of the madness of our day, if you trace it back to some of its origins, comes from those who in their youth were corrupted with unbiblical, ungodly teaching. So now they believe unbiblical, ungodly things. It's like in cement. If you put cement down and you want it to be smooth, you don't want to step in it until it's set. If you step in it and mar it, well, then it's going to be that way because it's going to harden. Well, this is what happens to young minds. They are, when they're soft, molded in a fashion that is not right, and then they age and it is cemented in. And now they cannot reason. They do not have understanding. Verse 5, Solomon's writing, so that we grow in learning and wise counsel. So we get wise, are able to give counsel according to what is wise, to understand a proverb, verse 6, and the words and riddles of the wise. That means we are able to converse with wisdom. We're able to understand the things of God, which the natural man cannot. So he says in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These, of course, are synonyms with understanding and these other things I mentioned before. The fear of the Lord is the start of it. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you know the Holy One, you have understanding. It would go then to reason that if you do not know the Holy One, you are without understanding. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this. Fear of the Lord means it's reverential awe of God, where we take him for who he is. We recognize him as the Lord, sovereign, holy, wise, good. He is the definer of righteousness, and he's the definer of wickedness. By his nature, we determine what is right and wrong. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning point of having a proper philosophy of life, a proper morality. And you know from what I just said that the world does not start there, the fear of the Lord, because they do not have the fear of the Lord in their philosophies, in their morality. So they've missed that. Knowing God is the foundation for understanding. People's opinions are not the foundation. More and more, when we leave God, it rests upon human beings to tell us what is right and wrong. That's where we are today. And they'll say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that, when there is. But knowing God gives you an ability to understand. Suppose someone says to you, why do bad things happen? What is the purpose? What is going on when these bad things happen? Well, biblically, we're told that God is working out his will. Trials for the believer will make us mature. The world is fallen, so we have natural consequences of that and destruction because of it. There's a number of things from the scriptures that we can answer that question with. The devil's work. Things that we see. What does the world say to that question? Why are bad things happening in the world? Well, karma is one. You lived another life. You were reincarnated into this life, but in a previous life, you really screwed it up. So now you got to pay it back, karma. Or that you're unlucky. You didn't find a four-leaf clover. That you've angered the gods who don't even exist. That your religion that is false has not been properly tended to. Astrology. Some people believe they had a bad day because of where Venus is in this whole constellation thing. Or parents have told us these things. But when we have understanding, we have an answer from the Bible. Parents really have a place in it. But wisdom is living on the truth that is derived from the knowledge of God. We find out how God is. We know how to do. I know some of you are not the way my wife is. Unless Sequa is here, we will generally never have a piece of broccoli in the house. There are exceptions with Sequa coming and such. Why is that? Why do you guess when she makes supper, lunch, on Sunday. What is it that keeps her from making broccoli? Well, if she ever did, I would know I did something wrong. She would not be figuring on making food that I liked. We don't have a number of things because I don't like them. There's been a rumor viciously spread that I'm fussy about what I eat. Well, she's caught on to that, and she's geared it toward things that I would like or away from what I don't like. It's because she knows me. So wisdom is living on the truth that is derived from knowing who God is. And you know who God is, you know what he's like and how we're supposed to be. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. That sounds like a circular argument, but it isn't. If you want to be wise, you start with being wise. Get wisdom in its inception. Get wisdom at the beginning. You want to play a guitar? Get a guitar. These air guitars, I can play those. But if you really want to get a guitar, get a guitar. If you want to get wisdom, get wisdom. Get the basis for wisdom. You've got to start with the right foundation for wisdom. If you start like another book is the standard to follow, then you're going to be off. You're not going to be wise. When the Bible says get understanding, it means that very same thing. Get at the foundation of understanding so that you can be filled with understanding. There's a way to instruct, to learn, to grow, and to behave in an absolutely objective fashion. That is absolutely right, and things that are absolutely wrong. Now, without a recognized foundation in God, the world's morality is fluid. It changes all the time. When I was at Columbia Bible College, I had several rooms on the second floor of the middle dorm. And during those years when I was there, I went to those rooms. If I went up there now, I would not be able to go into those rooms properly because they're not my rooms anymore. I had a mailbox down in the student center. No more. That passed on. It was not absolute. It was relative to my time being there. Well, the wisdom of God, the morality of God, the foundation of God is absolute. Does not change. Fools, we're told in verse 7, despise wisdom and instruction. It's not that they reject wisdom and instruction as such. It's that they reject the foundation. And they despise that wisdom and knowledge and understanding flows from God because they don't want that to be true. They don't want anyone to point out their foolishness. Jesus did that. It's what he said he was crucified for. They don't want to change their ways. They don't want to be challenged to have to alter their lives. They don't have understanding. Understanding is not from a consensus. It's from the absolute sovereignty of God. It's not a bunch of people coming together. That's where you get a lack of understanding. It's from people getting what we're supposed to be and to believe from God. Doesn't matter what we think, if God has told us what he is and what we're to think. Finally, why is a lack of understanding so dangerous? Well, if someone finds a bomb in my house, I hope someone with understanding comes out to defuse it. If you don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding of why you're here and who made you, then everything we do is destructive. Proverbs talks about how self-destructive foolishness is and how we not just only hurt ourselves, we hurt other people. We don't go alone into destruction when we are foolish. We take people with us. And it's self-destructive. Some guy complained why he got a new chainsaw. He never had a chainsaw before. Wasn't doing any good. He could cut more wood with an axe and a handsaw. And he took it in and said, what's wrong with this thing? And he said, well, let me start it up and see what it is. And he started up and the guy said, what's that sound? We didn't even start it up. It's stupid. He's not understanding about starting a chainsaw. He's banging it with the like an axe. Foolish people in power destroy those who they lead, even if it's children. Children who have parents who love the Lord are the most blessed, because parents have a lot of say. They're able to cement their child into the truth. And then when the world's going to peck on it for the rest of their lives. But foolish people destroy their children, even. It's happening today. Parents are afraid to even give the most basic facts to a child and wants them to wait until they're older to decide. Bad parenting. Believing themselves to be wise, those without understanding actually become fools. You know Aunt B, Andy's Aunt B. She made homemade pickles. Remember that episode? Tasted like kerosene, apparently. She loved them. She loved her homemade pickles. But she didn't have understanding about how they actually tasted. She was proud of them. But they were kerosene pickles. A lack of understanding is why people persecute Christians. A lack of understanding is why that pastor in Canada is being persecuted. And why churches in California, all other places as well, we've heard, are being told not to open. It's a lack of understanding. People without understanding in power are doing foolish things, which they will have to answer to before God, which if they had understanding, they would not have to answer to. Look at the things the world doesn't understand today. I mentioned this in a little bit before. There's a class that is being offered to middle school, I believe, or elementary school teachers, to how to teach math and not be racist. Racist math is don't tell kids that there's only one answer. You know, 2 + 2 = 4, that's racist. To be objective, that's racist. Now, that's stupid. We know that's stupid. But you know what is even more stupid? Is that people in school districts paid around $400,000+ to this person who made this to come and teach it to the teachers. That's even stupider. Why do they do it? They have no understanding. The devil's just trying to stir up trouble. People are always wanting to contribute to that. And so there we go. Things get worse. But the ultimate danger in being without understanding is when we meet God. Because understanding helps us here to do the right thing, to live in a healthy way, to not destroy ourselves and others. But when we meet God, our understanding of God comes to the end point. If we don't have it there, there's judgment. In my youth, when I started school, there was an emphasis in my school, Tryon Elementary School, on God. We had other learning. We knew math and stuff and, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. But I learned the Lord's Prayer, as I remember, I learned the Lord's Prayer in elementary school. We'd say it in the morning. Every fifth grader in my school got Gideon New Testaments, fifth grade. And there was a recognition in my school at that time that learning begins with God. And they were right. Because if you learn all these other things, all these other disciplines, all these other fancy subjects, and you have a high IQ, and you don't know God, you're a fool. And you're not going to be smart ever unless your SQ is high. Let's pray. Lord, may we truly crave knowledge. You tell us if we pursue it, we will find it. that wisdom calls to us to come. And Lord, we are being battered about today by many who are in leadership, many who are influential in families, in churches, who do not have understanding. And there are casualties and consequences for it. Well, may we be those who are founts of wisdom, because, Lord, we know you. In Jesus' name, amen.